read, it's a parable of Jesus, and it's from the Jesus Storybook Bible, and we've also got some pictures on the screen that go along with it.
Once upon a time, there was a man working in a field digging. So there he is digging. What he doesn't know is that in that field there is buried treasure. So dig, 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 clink, clank, clonk. Uh-oh, his shovel bumps into something hard. Hello, what is this? He picks it up, dusts it off. It's a chest. It's rusted and locked, but creak, it pries open. What he sees inside takes his breath away. Beautiful, glittering, gleaming, twinkling, sparkling, precious jewels. It's a treasure chest. He wants that treasure. He needs to get that treasure. He must have that treasure somehow. Even if he has to sell everything he has so he can pay for it. He quickly buys treasure again, runs home and sells everything he has. He takes the money from the sale and goes to buy that field. Now he owns the field and the treasure that is buried in it. He runs back and picks up the treasure again. Jesus said, coming home to God is as wonderful as finding a treasure. You might have to dig before you find it. You might have to look before you see it. You might even have to give up everything you have to get it. But being what God is, being in his kingdom, that's more important than anything else in all the world. It's worth anything you have to give up, Jesus told them, because God is a real treasure.
God is the real treasure, and we're going to sing some songs about Jesus being precious to us and seeking him like we would seek treasure, like that man sought the treasure and went and sold all that he had, and songs about the overflow of his love and his grace. So let's stand and sing together.
Father, thank you for the joy of being able to worship you. The joy of being able to worship you on our own individually, but also the joy of being able to worship you together. And Lord, thank you for the relief that it is to know that our eternity and so much of our life in this world in the end depends more on you than on us. But we thank you that you've given us a part to play, and our part, Lord, is to receive what you give us by faith and to wholeheartedly embrace you and then to see where you lead us. So thank you for all that you've done for us, and thank you for drawing our hearts out in worship this morning. We thank you for every gift that we, each one of us, can bring to this place. Lord, we thank you for the musicians and the singers as they lead us. We thank you that just by being here, we can be a blessing to each other and we can encourage one another. We thank you for those who will now lead the children's groups and the young people and look after maybe some of the little ones in creche. We thank you, Lord, for those who welcomed us, for those who will look after us later in whatever way. And we thank you that each one of us can have a part to play here. And at the center of it all, Lord, we thank you for yourself, our great treasure. We worship you and we bow before you. Amen.
So,
That was a bit naughty, wasn't it, not turning the microphone on? So you know, we're looking for opportunities for people to just talk about things that God has been up to in their lives, maybe a while ago or maybe even recently. Andrew's going to share something just now that's been really, really hard work, but taken a turn for the better.
Morning. Some may know Thomas, my son, had a bit of trouble time the last 6 months. School and things, he's been off school since September because of severe bullying. But we've been praying into that. My wife's worked so hard as well the last 6 months. And about 7 weeks ago, we got a phone call from a school called St. Luke's School Midbourne, offering a place at school. They've heard about him, but didn't actually apply for this school. And they've actually rang us saying, would you like to place the school? Which is a real answer to prayer as well. I know some of you have been praying with Thomas about that. Because he's been so anxious over the last 6 months as well. So I do pray that, I mean, he is still anxious about tomorrow because he starts tomorrow, his first day. But as it says in Proverbs, anxiety weighs down the hearts, but a kind word cheers up. And there's nothing a kind word than the Lord's word and prayer. So thank you for prayers, Ben. Thank you.
Well, while you're still there, let's just as kind of Thomas's representative here, and let's pray with Andrew. Just one or two people want to come and join me. Actually, I think this is quite a big day. So if you've not really got it, Thomas has had a really hard time, and so he's just going to be going in for 45 minutes, did you say, or tomorrow, and then build up over the next 3 weeks. But this school wasn't even really properly on your radar, was it? Because you thought it was too much to ask, in a way. So it's quite a long way away, but there's a way of transport getting organised as well. So let's just pray. Father, we want to first of all pray for Andrew and Helen. We pray for your blessing on them. We thank you for their perseverance. And we would love to see Helen come to know you. But we thank you that you've given her both a caring heart and a perseverance that has kept her going. And Lord, thank you for this gift of grace to them. And now we pray for them and especially for Thomas. Pour out your blessing on Thomas. Lord, be at work so that his anxieties don't get the better of him and that he is able to make the most of this great opportunity. Bless him. Amen.
Lord, we praise you that Thomas has got a loving, stable home. And Lord, it was so lovely to see him here a couple of weeks ago. We ask that you will give him peace of mind and that.
It's also a special needs school going to. So they are aware of his needs.
Yeah. It's good. Bless you. Stay there. Oh. Just an Ethan.
Okay, I shared this with Steve the other day, and it was just a little one-off, but he said, could I share it with everybody here this morning? It was just a fact of me, I shared it at prayer evening as well, but say that God answers our prayers. I was driving along in my car in quite a fast stream of traffic, and suddenly I got a really sharp pain in my right knee, and I thought, I'm not going to actually be able to bend my knee driving. But I just took my other hand and quickly laid it on my knee and I said, Jesus, heal my knee, please. And all of a sudden, I was able to move it again. Whoa, this was really exciting. But then, all of a sudden, the other knee, same sharp pain, just suddenly hit that knee. And again, I thought, oh no, what's happening? But again, put my hand on my knee and I prayed, dear Jesus, please heal this knee too. And all of a sudden, pain went again. I was quite excited, A, by the healing, but also B, by the fact that I had remembered something that Steve had said previously a couple of weeks ago, which was pray first. And I have to confess, I often pray after I've tried different other options, but I had no other option in the car. I couldn't drive it in the bus lane with these knees. So I was very excited that I had remembered pray first. So that was it.
Yeah. Hold on.
Um, as people may know, I've for the last 3 weeks or so, I've been in quite a lot of pain, so much so that it's pretty much been, I've been laid up in bed for one reason or another, and Regina's been helping, taking charge from work. And I know I've been praying for healing, and I know equally that people have been praying for me for healing. And the upshot was, last night we were going to go out for a meal with Regina and Ursula, and I was praying and praying, I said, Father, please take this pain away. Exactly 1 o'clock, the pain went from being totally bedridden to how you see me now. So I just wanted to share that, that, you know, it's amazing. So thank you, Father.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Did you get your meal?
Yep. That's good. Could you pass that along a bit, Paul? Thanks.
Not this Wednesday just gone, but the Wednesday before, I went to the prayer meeting. We shared in little groups, and I shared with Malcolm, and there must have been someone else because we were in a three, but I can't remember the other person was, that I felt really called by God to get into social and therapeutic horticulture, and I've started this kind of training course, and I've been volunteering at Dig Deep, which is a local community garden run by Ascend, and I'm sort of really wasn't sure kind of like what to do to take it forward, because volunteering at Ascend wasn't really helping me to learn to be a horticultural therapist, and I kind of like needed to do more with it, and I didn't know what to do about it. And I shared this, and Martin said, you know, he prayed, and he said, God is not the God of confusion. I'll pray that God will you know, show you exactly what you should be doing, kind of thing. And something that happened, so it was not something that I even ever thought of, was the woman who runs the project down at Dig Deep had heard of a part-time job on a project that's much more up and running than Dig Deep is in Letchworth, where they want someone to come as a trainee. And she sort of forwarded that email to me. Now, I run my own garden maintenance business. I wasn't thinking of going into employment where I was employed by someone else, but I just thought, yeah, that's absolutely the right thing to do. That will upskill me. And it will. It means I won't be able to volunteer at Dig Deep while I'm doing the job, but then perhaps I can come back when I'm more trained. But that was that's been a very big answer to prayer, and it wasn't how I thought. What I thought God was going to do was to tell me what I should do at Dig Deep, to volunteer there more. But yeah, I don't know if that made sense, but it really mattered to me at the time.
I'm going to go on. Interesting that a number of these, some of these testimonies are very things happening in a moment. And some of the other testimonies that either you've heard or you might be aware of are ones that have been things that have been rumbling on for months, and things that it's quite possible to almost lose hope for, unless you remember the fact that God's the God who does answer, but not necessarily quickly. And it's really helpful if you have and can bring to mind stories of before where, you know, maybe you've been praying about something, or you've been desperate for something to happen and you're thinking, why, God, is this taking so long? And you don't always get the answers to the question why, but then you come through it and you think, why did I feel like I was going to lose hope when actually something really good has happened in the end? This morning, we're going to continue in the series that we're in. We sang a song last week. There's a Christian song written by, I think it's by Tim Hughes. We sang it last week after the talk, and it has this repeated line in it: fill us up and send us out. And in a sense, that's my a kind of shorthand version of my prayer for this series, that God would fill us up with knowledge, fill us up with motivation, fill us up with the ability, and then he would send us out, and then because of that, many people would come to know Jesus through what he's given to us. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And then John writes, we write this to make our joy complete. And it seems like this is John's letter. It's maybe within a community of people who want others to know and to stand strong in the knowledge of Christ. It's that tone of we've experienced, we've seen, we've touched, and therefore we want to tell you, we want to pass it on, that it's got to be at the heart of any evangelism that we do. For John, of course, he had the first-hand eyewitness ongoing experience, probably for about 3 years, of life with the physical human walking around with him, challenging him, doing miracles in front of him, being crucified in front of him, risen from the dead, Jesus. He had that experience and he wanted to pass that on, and no wonder. And Jesus said to his disciples, didn't he, as we often remind ourselves, that he was going, but he was going to send the Holy Spirit to be with us, so that we wouldn't get a lesser version of God being involved in our lives. We would get God himself coming to live within us. And so that we too would have something to experience and to not see in quite the same way or feel in quite the same way, but to experience and to know and to be able to pass on to others. This phrase, evangelism as overflow, jumped into my mind a few weeks ago as if from nowhere, or maybe as if from somewhere or someone. I don't know whether you'd say God put it there or reminded me of it. Maybe I've heard it before. And then I started looking for the quote and things that came up, and I searched around. And it fits with what a number of people have said. There's a man called Michael Green who talked about evangelism. He said evangelism is overflow. It's the overflow of what you've received. We do not speak for Christ because... Well, actually, John Stott here, I should read it in the right kind of way. John Stott here, a very respected Bible teacher, who's gone to be with the Lord now, but probably in the last 60 or 70 years, if you've been in certain Christian circles and you wanted somebody who was reliable and, you know, what should I think about this, or how should I approach this subject, John Stott wouldn't be a bad person to go to. He lived and worked and ministered in and around London and was hugely influential in many ways. But he lamented a bit over what we don't do sometimes. He said, we do not speak for Christ because we do not so love his name that we cannot bear to see him unacknowledged and unadorned. So that's kind of the negative side. If only our eyes were open to see his glory. And if only we felt wounded by the shame of his public humiliation among men, or these days you'd say among people, wouldn't you? We should not be able to remain silent. He said if we kind of held him in high enough esteem, we would want to share him, for at the root of it would be that we wanted him to be honoured, we wanted him to be known. Another John, this is a bit of a tour of people who have got the name John who have said things. So this is an American Christian leader and speaker. No one will be able to rise to the magnificence of the missionary cause. Actually, we have a missionary with us, and from YWAM, friend of Sally's. Do have a chat afterwards if you get a chance. I don't know. I'll maybe ask you what you think of this. No one will be able to rise to the magnificence of the missionary cause who does not feel the magnificence of Christ. There will be no passion to draw others into our worship where there is no passion for worship. The best training for evangelism, says John Piper, is worship. The one who will present Christ to others must be occupied with Christ for himself or for herself. And what he's talking about here is not what style of song you like. There might be for each of us different styles of songs that really help us to worship. But what he's talking about here is something that a song can be a vehicle for, but we're talking about the contents here. We're talking about our adoration of God, of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the one who we are thankful for doing things, but even beyond that, we want to praise and worship and adore for who he is. The one who will present Christ to others must be occupied with Christ for himself. Occupied, it's in your mind, this thought of Jesus. It's something that you keep returning to. You might forget for a while, but you will keep coming back to. And the more you're occupied with Christ in this sense of it leading to worship, the more you'll have, right at the heart of things, this desire to share Christ with others. And as I reflected on the first couple of weeks on this evangelism course, if you like, I was thinking, yeah, we've done some useful things. We thought about why, and we thought about four C's of why. It's the command of Christ. And I want us to hold him as Lord and say, yeah, he says it, so I want to go and do it. The compassion of Christ, that he is compassionate towards those he made. I want us to hold on to that. He had a conviction about building his church. I want us to share that conviction. And I want us to have the joy of knowing that one day he will come again and he will consummate everything. He will bring to completion everything that he has set, that God has set in motion and he so effectively achieved on the cross. And those are kind of four great motivators for us. And then last week we talked about four D words that can help us to have an idea of, in a sense, the big story, but also the part that people have to play into that. The design, God designed everything in creation. And he designed it with a freedom that it could choose, or people, certainly, and other creatures that he had created, could choose. Because love that can choose to love, is such an extraordinary high value to God that he gave the ability to not love, in fact, to hate. And so God did design everything that is good, but then disorder came into the world as creatures, including people, all people, chose. And then there's design, there's disorder, and then there's deliverance. Jesus offers us deliverance from being stuck where the things that are wrong in the world seem to have sway, and where the things that are wrong in us, even if we don't think they're very important, actually, before God, they're a blockage to us. And then the fourth thing is a very important thing, and it's a decision. There's the design, the disorder, the deliverance which is offered, but the decision to receive it. And Jesus has done everything he needs to do. Jesus has done everything he needs to do, but without us taking the decision to receive what he offers, then it's kind of something that's around but not received. It's like the gift that's out there that's not had. It's like the treasure that's still buried and it's in the box. And we haven't gone and done the seeking and the finding. So not content with a number of babies in this place already, we've now got another one. So that's lovely. Welcome. And the other thing I said about that last week was that you could think about that in terms of people, that we are all created to be somebody, somebody unique, somebody special. But every single person has become in God's sight someone who sins and is by nature a sinner and is enslaved to sin. And that's the position that we're in. That was the position people were in even when Jesus came into the world. But he came as the Saviour and he came as a servant. And so he took us in our state that we were in. And he said, if you receive this offer of life, you too, yes, though you will still do things that are wrong against God and wrong against each other, you too can be called, and what the Bible tends to call, a saint. So sections of the church have used this word to describe people who are especially notable, you might say. But actually the Bible talks about anyone who is a Christian has been changed in God's sight from primarily sinner to primarily saint. And then I just talked about saint and celebrating should be, you know, our experience in life if we've taken hold of Jesus. So all of those things, those four C's, those four D's, I absolutely believe that they're really important. And I hope you take the time and the trouble to get hold of them, and things are on the PowerPoint as I've described before. You can see them on our website and so on. Have a look at them, think about them, and so on. But in a sense, all those are the details. Certainly for us as potential people wanting to share the life of Jesus with others, if what is within us is not something that is full to overflowing, if we're actually not full of the life and the power and the love of Jesus, and that it's kind of spilling out of us. So we're doing a bit of a tour of things that people called John have said. J. John, I think the J does stand for something that's probably unpronounceable, but it's basically John. John said, if you have forgotten that Jesus is your most precious treasure, how can you help to remind yourself of the most wonderful gift you have received? So that is a question. He's not saying, you know, there is no hope for you. How could you possibly do that? He's saying, yes, you can, but how can you do it? What can you do to place yourself? I would say we need to do things to place ourselves before God so that he can fill us up, so that he can send us out. So I said to you that it was a few weeks ago that I decided on this topic needed to be given a week by itself. And I remember a conversation with Regina where we were talking about something quite similar on a dog walk. And it's this sense of you're so full up with God, so full up with the life of Jesus, so full up with the work of the Holy Spirit in you that it's just flowing, overflowing from you. And I thought that's going to be a great message. And I got to Tuesday night and I just felt completely empty. I thought, oh, boo, that is really unfortunate. And I guess the experience for a number of us is that, well, maybe there are some of us here, you've actually never been quite this full of God, that you're wondering what on earth I'm trying to point towards. For some of us, we've had moments of that, glimpses of it, and you're thinking, yeah, but that's really not my general experience in life. For some of us, I'm hoping that you are full to bursting at the moment, and the knowledge of God and the joy of being in his presence is bubbling out over, not just for you, but for those who are close to you and maybe others around you. But for some of us, maybe we have times where we are and times where we're not. And I don't think that we're to just be passive and accept it, say, oh, well, you know, sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not good. There is a sense in which sometimes you need to put aside some other things and say, whatever else happens, I need to recover this passion for God, this desire to know God more. And I need to rediscover or find, maybe even more than ever before, this fullness of the life of God in me. So I could describe a few things that went on for me this week. I guess it was really Tuesday and part of Wednesday that seemed to be where things were distracting me or being difficult or just making things a bit odd. And do you know the worst thing was that there was nothing that happened to me that could really explain why I was feeling empty, which actually made it the worst thing, because I couldn't say, oh, it's so-and-so's fault, or it's this, or it's that. It was just like somebody had pulled the plug out, and the bath, which had been full, is just gone a bit empty. It wasn't like there was no water in there, but there was overflow. No, I don't think so. Slight paddle around in the bottom, possibly. So, what I had to do, and this might, you might know things that you have to do, but if you don't, then maybe have a think whether some of these could, and if you've never tried them, maybe try some of these things. So, I tried reading the Bible a little bit, actually on reflection, not as much as I could have done, or not in a way that I know helps me. There are some places I know I can go to in the Bible that by and large will really lift me up. Didn't think of that one. That was a bit stupid. You're the minister. Get yourself together. Right, okay, so I did that a little bit, but I did also do one of the other things that sometimes is really good for me and sometimes is not. I read in some Christian books that I know are good. And sometimes I can do that and skip from one thing to another and it doesn't really help. But sometimes I can find something that really encourages and energizes me. And I did discover a whole bunch of things. I don't think I'll go there for today. I brought the book with me, but I won't bother going there today. Another thing that I've found that we can do that doesn't help is isolating ourselves. A number of us are good at this. We isolate ourselves. Or we throw ourselves into extreme busyness. Now, neither of those is usually the route to regaining intimacy with God, it seems to me. Particularly if you're a bit prone to self-pity and being kind of melancholy and you isolate yourself, you can really, down you go. And if you're a busy, busy, busy person and you get busy, busy, busy and more busy, again, you will probably manage to, in a sense, as you kind of medicate yourself, you sort of get past feeling bad, but you haven't got any closer to God. But there's a path of just taking the time and the trouble to get into the presence of God and maybe talking to some people who know you and are helpful to you. There might be some people you might need to avoid for a little while. There might be some people you need to make sure that you get to see. And one of the things that people often say to me is, I didn't come because I was feeling blah, blah, blah. Well, I tell you, if I'd have missed Wednesday evening's prayer meeting, that would have been dead stupid. Because Wednesday evening's prayer meeting was really powerful, I think, for a number of us who were there. And it was like God took we kind of meandered around at the beginning and it was okay. And then God shared, or God took a bit of testimony and a bit of thanksgiving, added a bit of somebody else's life to it and an emotional connection, and then some praise and some songs and some worship. And then a bunch of us were in a really significantly different place. And some of us attempted to miss things like that because we maybe came the week before and nothing much happened to us or whatever. I'd encourage you, if you're not full to overflowing, find ways. And even if they don't work at first, have another go or try something slightly different. We have so many things, don't we? You can get worship online, some extraordinarily brilliant songs with great singers, and just find ones that help you and bless you and use those as a springboard. And yeah, it's going to be about, in a sense, God giving to you first of all, but then as you start opening up, you're then able to pour out your worship and join in with whatever's there. Sometimes you need people alongside you so that at least they're worshiping and you know that, well, your heart's not quite in it, but you're at least in the right place. And your prayer might be, Lord, help me to get somewhere where they are. So it's not a straightforward journey, and I must admit, even though we prayed, and I specifically prayed on Wednesday night that we'd be able to take stuff with us, it didn't quite happen for me that way immediately, but I'd retasted something really wonderful and that helped me on the journey. Back to the Johns. Evangelism is the overflow of abundant life that Christ has made available to us. It is very difficult to get half full Christians to overflow. It's just obvious, isn't it, really? And so that's why I didn't particularly take you into my journey, because I had the need to share my foibles and follies and stuff. But I recognise that for a number of us, if I just talk about evangelism and overflow, for some of us we're thinking, well, that's not me then, is it? Or not me at the moment. This book, The King's Gold, I won't read it a bit, but basically there's a section in there where the author, she talks about if this doesn't work and this doesn't work, because you need to be full of the love and the power and the presence of God. What she basically says is seek and then keep on seeking. And then if you've sought and you kept on seeking and you didn't find, then the answer is to keep on seeking. And keep on seeking and don't go until you get some. I won't stop wrestling with you until you bless me. And sometimes we might need to fight as well. Sometimes I don't know whether everybody here believes that there is a devil, Satan, demonic and so on, but there is an enemy. I've seen enough to know that that's true. And sometimes you have to specifically just tell him where to go. To go away and leave me alone. And then turn your attention back to God. You don't need to pay too much attention to the devil, but sometimes you do need to pay a bit of attention to anything that's coming against you and just tell it where to go. If you're in Christ, you have the authority and the power to do that. So, got through all of that. Got to yesterday evening, still didn't have a talk. That's not the greatest. And I came across this lady, and I was quite inspired again by her words. Well, first time I'd seen her, but it was another thing that inspired me, is what I meant to say there. She says, I want to reach each one. listen and come alongside them and share the amazing truth that God is real, God is alive, God cares beyond measure and loves unconditionally. God revealed himself in and through Jesus Christ. I want to say what you are searching for has been made known. Do you want to say that like Paul said to the people in a place in Athens? And they were looking at a statue to the unknown God. They thought there was something, but they didn't know what. What you've been seeking for, what you've been searching for, has been made known in Jesus. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when somebody expresses what I really believe and they put it down in words, it really helps me, and it did with me here. She goes on, I've grown knowing that even in my immediate circle of influence, I desperately need my fellow laborers to come alongside me in sharing the gospel in word and deed with my friends. She continues, of course, God is the great evangelist in his mission and by his grace alone that we are saved. Yet the Lord does clearly call us to be his ambassadors. He commissions the church, his body on earth, to bring the good news to the world. There's a section in one of the letters that Paul wrote, and it says this, and how are they to believe in the one of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim to them? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And so we're particularly thinking, aren't we, about sending one another locally, especially. We're talking, as J. John set us up with this notion of the Holy Spirit came upon them and Jesus gave them the command, you are to be my witnesses in Jerusalem where you are, around you with your friends and your family and your colleagues and your workmates and your neighbours. And then also God will call some of those people to go further afield and some of those people to do all sorts of things in different parts of the world. This lady, Carrie, continues. Interestingly, the early church didn't have to teach methods. The first followers of Jesus were so transformed and ignited by their encounter with the risen Lord that they could not help but speak about what they had seen and heard. They shared to make their joy complete. The gospel burst forth from their lives in their speech and their actions. And as it says in Acts, the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved. I was amused. This is the kind of thing that God does for me. Maybe he does it for you occasionally. I was quite amused that in finding this and finding these quotes and being quite inspired by them and a short video that this lady, Carrie Headington, made. I was quite interested then to find out that she's got a link to J. John. I thought, well, that's just a nice touch, isn't it? So she lives in America, and she's J. John's organisation, the Philo Trust. She's one of their associate evangelists. I thought, oh, that's a nice touch, God, that you've taken me in a little circle here. I've found a bunch of quotes from a bunch of people called John, and then this other person who's now inspired me. She's got a link to this first guy who's come to speak to us. When it comes to evangelism, you can't give away what you haven't got. And that's pretty well true for life, isn't it? I can't give you any treasure that I don't have. If I haven't dug it up in the first place, I haven't got anything to give. I might have the most compassionate heart in the world, but if I haven't got something to give you that is of use to you, then I could feel very bad for you or very sorry for you. And this is one thing that I think we as a church need to grow in. I think a lot of us here have very compassionate hearts. And sometimes our hearts are broken for each other or for our families and for people around us. But sometimes we need to go mining deeper with God, digging deeper for the treasure that only He can provide, so that when we go to people, we have treasure that will really transform their lives. Because otherwise we have a heart for people, and what we eventually discover is that we become empty and we become fed up and we become frustrated and we just don't seem to have quite what is really needed. Or occasionally we do have what is needed and we might become proud of ourselves because we've achieved this thing. We've sorted the person out, but maybe there are deeper things that would be better. You can't give away what you haven't got. But interestingly, though that is the big thing I want to say today, there is sometimes you can be in a position of receive, and then it's God is calling you to give something away, and it's actually in the giving that you receive from God as well. So these things are never just, you know, a simple phrase that does everything. It is sometimes in that position of being in an extreme situation with somebody. I don't know. We've seen a number of people healed, as you, we've heard a couple of stories about healings and things. And we've over the past, 4 or 5 years seen a number of quite striking things. But my heart yearns for a time when this will be a regular occurrence in this place. And there's two things that need to go on there. We need to become full of the faith that Jesus had, I think. Not just faith in Jesus, but full of the faith that Jesus had. But also we need to not lose the compassion for those who need the help. So it's those two things. You and I need to walk in intimacy with God. Our hearts are ablaze with the love of Christ. Then we will find that evangelism happens naturally as a byproduct, the overflow of burning hearts. So I've taken that quote from J. John's little booklet that we're working through, some of us, on evangelism. It just sounds, even as I hear myself say that, I've taken that from a booklet on evangelism. It sounds so functional, doesn't it? It's just a booklet, a tool to help us to share Christ, which is a lot deeper than something that's just functional. So, coming in towards the end. I read this at the beginning. This is from the beginning of John, who else could it be? 1 John's letter. And I wonder what would happen if we just pondered on that over the course of the week, or some of the things that arose from that, and you just start to think about what your testimony is of what you've seen and heard and experienced from God. And took that and thought about the difference that it's made for those of us who are Christians, the difference that it's made in our lives. And what we're doing as a church at the moment is we're starting to try and collect together testimonies of what God has done in this place and around this area over many years, so that we'll have a treasure box of testimony. And that you won't just have your own testimony, but you'll have other things that we can say, yeah, we know that happened for sure, because we were here and we saw it, or we know people who did see it or heard of it. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And that fellowship with us is is that you'll have a kind of friendship with us that is centered on Christ. It's not just that we get together and we're nice to each other or we enjoy each other's company. This word fellowship, I struggled with it for many years because it just sounded so twee and sort of, I don't know, just cups of tea and nothing more. But it's at the heart of it, it is deep, intimate, knowing and being known relationships with people, with Jesus at the center. So that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Why would John write this to make his joy and the joy of those around him complete? Because he just wanted others to experience it. When you're so full of something that you're fit to burst, you just want others to know about it, don't you? And if it's something that you're not just saying, oh, I had this brilliant experience, but what you're saying is, I had this brilliant experience, encounter, I've got this life, which is different. And it's not just saying, and look at my life, it's saying, this life could be yours. So we love because he first loved us. That is the motivation for a Christian. We love because he first loved us. I'm going to let you lead that. Sorry, I'm going to let you read that prayer, and then I'm going to lead those of us who want to pray that in that prayer. In fact, I'll give you a chance to read it, and maybe those of us who want to can say that together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love on the hard wood of the cross that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your spirit that we, reaching out our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you, for the honour of your name. Amen.
I'm just going to read the last bit of the story that Alana read earlier. So she stopped at the bit where it said, because God is a real treasure. And then it goes on and says this. God had a treasure too, of course, a treasure that was lost long, long ago. What was God's treasure, his most important thing, the thing God loved best in all the world? God's treasure was his children. It was why Jesus had to come into the world to find God's treasure and pay the price to win them back. And Jesus did it, even though it cost him everything he had. We're going to sing Over a Thousand Tongues to sing when my great Redeemer's praise. And the last verse says, my gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad and in my family and in South.
And lovely to see people who haven't been able to be with us for a while. And I hope that you enjoy catching up with people, as you might want to do just in a moment. If anybody here would like to pray with somebody, there are a whole bunch of us who would love to pray with you. If you want to pray about something I've spoken about, you want to pray about recapturing or capturing for the first time that sense of being filled to overflowing, with God, with God's goodness and God's greatness and the love of Jesus in your heart, then I would encourage you, if you would find it helpful to pray with someone, which it often can be, then do come and make yourself known. Don't be shy. Don't stand back. If you would like to pray, certainly a renewed desire in me to pray for people's physical healing as well. Then do get some prayer for that. And if you want to pray, maybe for the first time, that you want to say, yes, I've maybe been a bit fuzzy about Jesus before, but I do trust that I want him to be my treasure. And maybe you've got to the place where you can say, yeah, I trust that he died for my sin. It's really true. And I want to hand my life over to him, believing that with God's Spirit in me, he can lead me. So if that's you also, then come and speak to either myself or someone else. Father, thank you for the blessing of being here, for your goodness to us. And now for each one of us, will you grant to us what we need so that we can be full to overflowing with your goodness? And that whatever comes against us will be temporary and will pass, and your eternal goodness will stay with us forever. And that we will live from that truth and know that despite the ups and downs of our emotions or our thoughts sometimes, that you are good, that you're for us, that you love us, and that we are yours and nothing can snatch us from you. So thank you for that, Lord, and in the confidence of that, may we be a blessing to those around us. And so I bless each person here with the knowledge of God and the desire to know him better. And I bless you so that as you receive, you will be filled to overflowing and will want to, will desire and will be able to give great things to others because they come from Christ. Amen. Stay and probably carry on worshiping.
I just thought I need to share this. You know, there's one person I know that was overflowing with God's love. It was my dad, but he's passed away now. You know, I remember he grew up believing in God, but it was not until he was 65 when he said believing in God is not enough. So he accepted God as his savior. And from that time on, he was just overflowing with God's love. Mm-hmm. And everywhere he goes and every person that he meets, he will not leave without sharing in a scripture from the Bible, saying, just sharing what God has, what he learned from God and what he knows about God. And there was a time that when I think he was already about 75 when he was brought to the hospital for serious, he's got emphysema, and I flew home, and he doesn't care whatever condition he was, all he's thinking is about sharing the good news, and I witnessed it, and he every nurse that comes to the room, and he will say, God is so good, I just want to share this with you. And he was begging to the nurse, can you stay for just 2 minutes? And the nurse would say, of course, I'm so busy, I can't, just 2 minutes, please, because my heart is burning. He will really cry, my heart is burning, my God is telling me to share this with you, just to meet. And then the nurse will say, okay, go on then. And yeah, he feels happy when he shares the Bible. And then when he came home, you know, he was a bit better. And then there's some more like social worker that comes, and he doesn't really stop. And that, and even that was finished already, you know, the visit, there were two of the social workers that came back just to chat and listen to his words. And I said, that was brilliant. That was brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. Lord, make us like Hannah's dad.
Yeah.